I'm in the studio today with Elizabeth Harris, novelist and short story writer living in Austin, Texas, with her husband, Warwick Wadlington, a retired literary critic and active photographer. For years, Elizabeth taught fiction writing at the University of Texas. Her collection of short stories, The Ant Generator, won the John Simmons Prize in 1991 and was praised by novelist Marilyn Robinson for its bemused awareness of the uncertain frontiers between the quotidian and the dreamlike. Elizabeth Harris's stories have been published in a number of literary magazines and anthologized in several collections, but most recently, she's devoted herself to writing novels. The first of these to be published is Mayhem, Three Lives of a Woman, which she calls contemporary fiction with a historical setting, and is forthcoming from Jeval Press in October 2015. So, Elizabeth, what kind of novels do you enjoy writing most?
Literary fiction doesn't usually allow you to say that as simply as genre fiction. But lately I've been interested in writing about historical settings, bringing some kind of contemporary sensibility to them, and also in novels that look at their own storytelling, whatever their time setting.
Mm-hmm.
And there's another aspect to that, which is in bringing into the novel other kinds of texts in some way or another, so that the text becomes at a certain level a kind of collage or pastiche of crisscrossing textures of different forms or registers or kinds of language. For instance, one novel that actually does all of those things is Mayhem, Three Lives of a Woman. It has a historical setting. It also incorporates a fictive memoir about its own origins and composition, some of which is true. And it incorporates some pre-existing historical stories. I mean, though the characters in the novel as a whole are invented, there are some little bits incorporated that are actually historical stories about vigilantes in Central Texas, very, very dramatic events.
So you draw from history, but you fictionalize the characters themselves.
In that novel, yes, very much so.
How'd you get interested in these kinds of writings?
Well, you know, I could talk about that in terms of books I've read that struck me as revelations of, oh, you could do this in writing. But I mean, to speak at the most basic biographical level, I spent a number of years teaching fiction writing. So self-consciousness about storytelling is part of how I think. When I'm doing something, I'm thinking, well, you know, a writer could do this, a writer could do that, and then, you know, I make some kind of choice. And I've also noticed that readers are interested in memoir. Memoir, as everybody knows, has sold very well in the last decades. And if you go to literary readings where people ask the writers questions, they're always likely to be one about, how did you come to write this story? It's something readers seem to be interested in, as film audiences seem to be interested in the making of the movie. So you have, you know, movies about the making of movies. So I thought, well, why not incorporate some of that about the writing of the novel into the novel itself?
Interesting. Interesting.
As to how I got interested in history as material for fiction, that's got to be about my family. I came from a very backward-looking family. My father's father, if you can believe this, was born in 1861, the year the Civil War started. He had an early childhood memory of the Civil War, which I can tell if anybody wants to hear it. But I should go on and say that all this happens because I'm the youngest child of a youngest child on that side of the family. And both my parents grew up in very old-fashioned families. This created difficulties for me as a young person, but it's become a great resource because I think I know, or I have some access to how those people in the late 19th century actually thought. And I think that's one of the harder things to get from just doing research.
You know, you can hardly rent a movie these days where you don't see some form of background as to how this movie came together. So I can see where you're coming from with this desire to draw from the history you've lived and your parents and grandparents lived.
Yes, I was just reading a review in the Times which alleges that a number of writers are disillusioned with a novel and thinking that it's too artificial or something like that. And I wouldn't put it that way, but it's the kind of feeling that makes people want to inject some new impression of reality into a form. and accompanying the novel with bits of memoir, whether they're true or fictive, is something that contributes to that illusion of greater reality. I mean, it is illusion. It's all art. Mm-hmm. So to say that we're actually bringing the novel closer to life is kind of problematic. But any case, you can bring the novel closer to a new illusion of reality, and that might be something that's happening in film, too.
Mm-hmm. To date, how many novels have you written?
Conservatively estimated, and I can explain that, 3.5.
3.5, okay.
Well, I mean, I'm about half through with one. I mean, I have a complete draft of it, but it needs a whole lot of work. It's still in the complete mess stage. So I say 3.5, but the reason I say conservatively estimated is because that doesn't count different drafts of a novel that's evolving. So countless drafts of about 3.5 novels.
And when you say drafts, do you mean going back and completely reworking something, starting from scratch? Or
yes.
What do you say? Wow.
Well, you can start from scratch or you can start from the manuscript that you have.
Mm-hmm.
And those are actually just two different ways of working on a novel. If you think you're going to be misled by what you've written already, then you might start from scratch and then consult what you've written already to see in a particular area how much of it you can use.
Just kind of go back and use it as a guide?
Yeah, or you might do a complete new draft on the manuscript itself. It just kind of depends on how you're feeling and how you work.
Time-wise, how long did it take you to construct Mayhem, Three Lives of a Woman? How long did that take you?
I can't really answer that question. I think I started it in 07 or 09. I didn't work on it a whole lot for several years. I would write a draft, put it away, and think about it. And I didn't get seriously working on it until, well, I guess that was 09. I was teaching one semester a year, and I was actually working on, as I still am, a longer novel, which is set in the 19th century and involves a lot of research. And
mm-hmm.
And I thought, well, you know, a semester off is a really nice time to work on something shorter. So I started Mayhem as I thought it was going to be a long story. Then I thought it was going to be a novella. And then I decided it was actually a short novel. And some people use those terms interchangeably anyway. So at that time, I would work on it during a semester and a summer. And then I would put it away while I taught. Or maybe I would kind of, the work would kind of dribble over into teaching, but I wasn't trying to do a whole lot while I was teaching it at that time. And then I would get it out again. So if it's 9 to 14, that's
five-ish
years, but I worked on other things during the time. I've got a lot of overlapping projects here.
Sure, I bet you do. One last question, Elizabeth. How about some of those books that you've read over the years that struck you as a true revelation?
Well, I think A.S. Byatt's Possession, Julian Barnes's Flaubert's Parrot, those were books that made me think about library research as a topic for a novel. I mean, I had done that kind of research, and I had often thought about how dramatic it can be. I mean, you're looking for something which you may or may not find. It's a quest plot. It's like a plot of a detective novel. And it has a lot of energy. It has a lot of momentum. So in both of those novels, I thought, wow, you know, this is cool. And Barnes's novel and a couple of other books, Pat Barker's Regeneration, which is a book about World War I, and Michael Cunningham's novel, The Hours, all these books led me to think about incorporating real historical documents because, I mean, Byatt's book, Possession, invents its historical documents, and then it has a couple of academics trying to discover the truth about 19th century love affair between poets. And so she invents the poems, the letters, the diary entries, and so forth. But these other books use real historical materials and incorporate them into the novels, which becomes a way of juxtaposing different forms and textures and registers and kinds of writing, which is something that I was interested in doing when I first started to try to teach myself how to write. And I did that in some of the short stories in The Ant Generator, but I never found a very compelling way of doing that. I mean, I was doing this in ways that were seemed kind of conventional to me, and I never found ways of doing it that seemed to give me the scope that I wanted. So from those books, I thought, hey, you know, I could do this. And I would also want to name, I mean, among books that struck me as a revelation of what I wanted to do, Ian McEwan's Atonement, Michael Ondaatje's The Cat's Table, both of which incorporate fictive memoir into novels. And by fictive memoir, I mean a story about the writer that may or may not be true. I mean, this is not necessarily, biographically speaking, memoir, which becomes available as a way of writing about storytelling while telling what you hope is a really compelling story. And I think McEwan's book, Atonement, does that. And finally, I wouldn't want to forget books like Dr. Rao's Ragtime or Russell Banks's Cloud Splitter, which is about John Brown, for the reminder that historical settings and characters could provide opportunities to write about still hot issues of the present. Dr. Rao's Ragtime is about institutionalized racism in the 19-teens. And Banks's book about John Brown, I mean, addresses some issues about Christian activism and fanaticism and the sacrifice of children. I mean, his children, whom he reared to be involved in the activities he got involved in Kansas and at Harper's Landing at the beginning of the Civil War. And those are issues which history provides you a way of writing about with nuance and without falling into the conventional ideologies of the present.
And that's the style, once again, of your newest novel, Mayhem, Three Lives of a Woman.
I think so. I hope so. I mean, what's the contemporary issue in that novel has something to do with gender, but not in the way that people really talk about that in the present, but in situations in which men can't see or hear women because of the presence of other men. And that's really the wellspring of the dramatic situation.
Award-winning novelist, short story writer, Elizabeth Harris. Thank you so much, Elizabeth, for talking with us today. It was genuinely good visiting with you.
Thank you very much, Joel. I appreciate it.